Blog Talk Radio.
Mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, evolutionary, revolutionary,
healing and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion, a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my position. This is my affirmation. This is my manifestation. This is my ultimate destination, that indeed the all, which knows, which sees, which understands, which holds all power, is accessible to each and every one of us. It's children, it's reflection, it's light, it's walking earthly human manifestation here along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I make sense out of all that we are challenged with here, that we face here along this journey. And as I sit before the altar, sit before the spirits, sit in spirit in this sacred space, in this divine moment in time, it has brought to my consciousness the gravity of the journey, the gravity of the battle, the gravity of the challenge that many of us, both myself and the audience, but particularly myself, I think it's an injustice when someone claims spirituality, religion, the public speaker, the motivational speaker, and then they mask their own journey. They mask their own challenge. We share our challenge, we share our journey, we share the crossroads, for indeed that's where the magic is. And we're going to get deep about what magic is today, ritual magic, spiritual magic. And we're not talking today about religion. Let me clarify. We're not talking today specific about tradition, your path, my path, her path, his path, and the argument that typically ensues with that. I want to reach deeper and seek some clarity, because many of you, both practitioner and client and seeker, we have many words, many adjectives that we use to not only suggest who we are and where we are as it relates to magic. And often those accolades, those terms, those words, which I'm now calling a language, a dialect that we must navigate in the realm of spirituality and religion. But it's very separate from the source. And I want to bring us all closer to the source. In a result-oriented practice, the power, the source, is critical to the manifestation. Having something that's not only entertaining, that's not only edifying, but is usable, if you will, practical, and address what we face along this journey. Many of the words that we use are political, not just religious, but political, and are charged with meaning specific to people, places, and things that have a set agenda. It does not necessarily mean that they're looking for balance, for health. for you or for themselves that may not be critical to their position. Some people's position is only the dollar, and they can't see beyond that. Some people's position is only the love and relationship, and they can't see beyond that. Some people's position is only hitting the lottery and the Powerball, and they can't see beyond that. And this is global, unfortunately, now, but it's a Western-born thought process, a Western-born reality. It's been fueled by religion, which is why I don't want to digress too much on religion today. I want to talk about principles, powers, the true secrets of voodoo, because we can argue all day how we do it in New Orleans and how you do it in Haiti and how they might do it in Cuba and how they might do it in Nigeria. But at the end of the day, result orientation is about now. Not the heaven thereafter, not the future, not what could be, should be, but what is, and how do we address what is to aid us, to assist us in moving forward to the next level, in getting from point A, point B, in terms of spirit, in terms of divinity, non-religious definition divinity, but spiritual definition of divinity. We can learn, we can study, we can research books and teachers and authors and all sorts of people about what magic is. And let's be clear, I'm not talking about performance. Performance has its place, whether you're talking about the performance that is magic, the David Copperfields, the Zach Mercers, or if you're talking about spirituality and religion. And there are many houses in that mansion that we overlook when we talk about magic. We forget about the faith healers. We forget about the spiritualists. We forget about the motivational speakers who, you know, are going to talk you into your wealth overnight for a fee. You've just got to show up, you know, to a number of their speeches, to a number of their workshops, if you will. But deeper than that, when we start talking about how we think, how you get up in the morning about your magic, about your voodoo, how serious are you about your voodoo? Not your religion, not your demonstration, but the practice. Elemental, mental, and arcane. Now, we have to be very careful about these words, because it is where we get lost is with the words. It's with the power that we attach to words. It's with the authenticity that we attach to words. And some of you may have figured out, I go out of my way not to use certain words when I'm on air for clarity. I don't want the focus to continue to be on unobtainable goals for many of the people who are going to intersect this crossroads where they find themselves listening to Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes. And we've done 7 years of those shows, and we'll hopefully do 7 more of those shows. But we want to get deeper into the secrets. Now, you can ask a variety of authors, historians, spiritualists, practitioners. Depends on who you're talking to. Depends on what their motivation is as it relates to your question. What is magic? it can be simplified and it can be very complex. On the most simplified end of the spectrum, you have elemental magic, forces of nature, things that deal with the water, the springs, the ocean, the earth, the sand, the mud, the minerals, the crystals. And we've seen that magic intertwine with other systems of religion, of metaphysics, of culture, even class and status, as we go back in history to a time when only a small portion of the general populace would have been able to afford gold, silver, brass, quartz crystal even, things that some of us take for granted today, take for random today, very powerful elemental tools. There's a dimensional space that we can look into now where this is non-specific of religion, non-specific of movement. We see many people wearing gold, diamonds. Jewelry is a very world gratified art, tool, gift, if you will. It's everywhere. It always has been. It's in every culture. But its meaning is specific to the individual. Some people like it because it's beautiful. Some people are wearing it because it has a meaning. There's very few of my pieces that I can wear in public, even around people who know nothing about who the Divine Prince is, that don't invoke that questioning. I don't get, oh, that's nice, that's attractive, where'd you get that? I get, what does that mean? Is there something deeper to why you're wearing that that I should know about? You know, I get questions of that nature, and that's a blessing. But we have to move into that. We have to move into that. We're doing too many things today because they're trending, because they're fadding, because they look a certain way. And just because you're religious, just because you're sanctified, just because you're ephod, just because you're a con, just because you're Rasta, doesn't mean that you escape that level of human vanity. Your hair, your crown, your clothes, your armament all represent who you are, what you think, what you believe. And and to some degree, specifically for those who are vibrating on that level, it represents where you are in the realm of spirit dimension. When we start getting into this type of material, we have to talk about griots. We have to talk about language. We have to talk about symbolism. The wording, even my wording, becomes more symbolic, more coded, more hidden, because there are gates that have to be passed through to enter into these realms, these mansions. I often use mansions and houses because many of us know that from some connection to Christian symbolism. In my father's house, there are many mansions. But that is also a globally, historically universal law in all cultures. All you have to do is go into those cultures, go into their houses, and I mean symbolically, spiritually, their spiritual archive of knowledge, and you're going to find elemental magic. You're going to find mental magic, and you're going to find arcane magic. And understanding them is not synonymous. Understanding one is not synonymous with understanding all three. It's just like comparing the person who's religious or church-going or goes to Salat on Friday with someone who's thinking about the number of stars and why, who's thinking about faith healing, who's operating in the realm of magic, generic word usage, magic. When we get specific into elemental magic, there's mastery over fire, mastery over water, mastery over earth, mastery over air, and so on, mastery over lightning. But you also see these systems, these masteries, if you will, in traditional West African practice, in voodoo, in Ifa, in Akan. There are Orisha, there are Lowa, there are deities, Obafung, that govern specifically forces in nature. Again, this is not religion, though religion often plays a part. Geographics plays a part. Where you are, what your environment is how did you grow up in this knowledge? And when you look to the West, many of you who are listening to me now who've never had any real-world contact with some of these practices and traditions, but you're being exposed to it by way of the Internet, video, photography, talk shows, blogs, and so on. It's a virtual exploration into these traditions. When you start getting into system or organized, structured religions, when you start using all those adjectives and extra wording, again, then you start getting into religion, politics, where many of these words are burnt. What separates the Wiccan, who operates in elemental magic, from the Vudonse or the Ifa or the Sangoma, who operate in elemental magic, is culture, religion, experience. So if you haven't had that, and I'm not picking on the uninitiated or the untraveled or the person who hasn't figured out yet means to intersecting these crossroads in real time for themselves. I spent many years welcoming you to Congo Square, not just for me, not just for New Orleans, but because it's a sacred space that many world traditions intersect from Africa, from South America, from the Caribbean. And we unite in this place, so it gives you an opportunity to interact with, connect with other people who may be more in line with the vibration that you're seeking, that you're connecting with. Mental forms of magic, the ability to move objects with your mind, the ability to transmit images or feelings to the minds of others, the ability to command animals or communicate with animals. Practitioners who are associated with animal imagery, transformation as it relates to animals, the ability to arrange one's environment to evoke specific feelings or mood. Many people who come into my sacred space immediately suggest a shift in energy that they recognize immediately. It may be unfamiliar to them. It could be the cable man, the power man, you know, people who would not necessarily otherwise be associated with being all that deep and spiritual in that environment. But they can't help but make mention, note verbally, outwardly, that they feel something, they are experiencing some shift in energy and in the space that's tangible enough to them to say something about outwardly. Again, these things are not to me or you or to an individual religion or path. This feng shui, that's all about that energy in the space. Even when we look at Christianity, Judaism, Islam, me and my mother, who's a well-known evangelist, were discussing this just yesterday, how some people within those traditions don't appreciate imagery at all. They see that as a graven image. Your statuary, your African carvings, your deities, they see that as an affront to them. They're not all the same in how they respond to it. You know, I have very good friends in those communities who come into my space. But I know, because I know them and we've had discussions, their position on icons. So we have to get deeper than past, than traditions and the arguments that go along with that, and really begin to look at things from a more, not only spiritual perspective, but scientific perspective. And many people don't want to look at these things in that vein because it's proof-oriented. It means someone has to do something that's predictable, that's provable, that's documentable. And you can't always squeeze magic into that. There's that area of magic that does encompass faith, belief, awareness. And many people seek and walk their journey with that perspective, with that understanding. And then there's arcane magic, which is a word that is elusive even unto itself. I like to use system or ceremonial magic, the actual rituals the Mayans would have done, the actual practice, which is often documented in some form with some of these cultures. The book, Egyptian Book of the Dead, is an example. Doesn't mean everybody's going to get it, going to make sense to you overnight, but they did their best to document the offerings, the implements, the statuary that would have been present, in some cases the metallurgy, the silver, the gold, the quartzite that would have been present, and the merging of spiritualism and science in modern day with the advances in technology has brought some of that even more forward. That merging has brought advancement in computer science and the usage of quartz and other minerals and metals in our electronics and in our technology, and bringing that to another level. So when we start looking at these powers separate from the religion and the traditions and the talk and the propaganda, things become a little bit more raw, a little bit more naked. Now, sometimes these are talked of as not just types of magic, but universal laws and laws of magic, which cannot be transcended. And I'm not going to digress too much on initiation, how you come in contact with this knowledge, but it's critical. You'll easily be able to deduce, you know, one from the other, and why the two are important from understanding universal law. Universal law is not new. There are Kemetic, ancient Egyptian documents, the laws of Mayat in the Egyptian Book of Dead that all reference these laws. And for as many cultures as you have authors, as you have books, as you have websites, there's going to be some slant to the name, to the title, to the listing. But these universal laws don't change. Some of them are infinite or eternal universal laws, and others are mutable, if you will. The immutable and the mutable separate what we can improve on, grow on, improvise, bring elevation to from that which is concrete and solid. And often these laws are given through your initiation, through your gurus, through the people who initiate you into these traditions, often through physical practice, symbology, study, writing, books, because it takes a great deal of effort to commit these things to memory. So I try and not oversimplify, but give common language to some of these principles when I bring them forward on Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes. Some of these are, as I said before, immutable, and some of them are mutable. The first three that I'm going to mention are immutable, eternal laws, meaning they are absolute and cannot be changed or transcended within this realm of consciousness. Now, what's possible in other places of the universe, that's a whole nother show, that's a whole nother discussion. The law of mentalism is immutable. The first of these universal laws tells us that the all is the mind, the universal mind. The universe is mental, that everything we see and experience in our physical world has its origin in the spirit realm, in the mental realm, in the psychic realm. Again, there are many adjectives we can digress into, which would only preclude the smooth flow and movement of this topic. And we will do that at another time. But I want to first get it out enough that we can discuss it. It tells us that there is a single universal consciousness, a universal mind, what you call that God consciousness, Christ consciousness, the Akashic records. Each one of those tabs can be a show unto itself, how that is manifest. In pop culture, in literature, and in practical, real-life terms, many of these forms are not manifest practically. Many of us are not going to take the time to think about, to commit to meditate on, to pray on, to get some real connection to these laws. But those who do find power, find abundance, find strength. This is not to say that you should ignore these immutable laws or try and define them or attempt to maneuver around them. You can't escape the system. However, they are approached culturally, religiously, spiritually, in very diverse ways across the globe, in various thought processes, religions, and practices. The second is the law of correspondence. The second is the universal law. It tells us as above, so as below. That means that there is harmony, agreement, correspondence between the physical, mental, and the spiritual realms. There is no separation, since everything in the universe, including you, originates from the one source, the all. All is a blessing. That's why I say all is a blessing. The same pattern is expressed on all levels of existence, from the smallest electron to the largest star, and vice versa. All is one, all is a blessing. The ancient Greek temple of Apollo at Delphi was referring to this great law of correspondence in its inscription, "Know thyself, and they and thy shall know the mysteries of the gods and the universe." The next universal law, immutable universal law, is the law of vibration. The universal law of vibration tells us that nothing rests. Everything moves, everything vibrates. The third immutable universal law tells us that the whole universe is but a vibration. Science has confirmed that everything in the universe, including you, including myself, including our crystals, including our material objects, is but pure energy vibrating at very different and diverse frequencies. When we look at things from its atomic molecular structure, they are but vibrating atoms, vibrations that hold all existence together. And with understanding these first three divine laws, universal laws, you really begin to then open up your mind, your body, your consciousness, your experience, your manifestation and demonstration to what magic truly is on all its levels, in all its earthly and universal manifestations. I will continue, because I've run out of time, with these universal laws. There are many of them. Some are a little bit more complex in detail than others. I should be present tomorrow here at 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. But I have run out of time. I appreciate all of you, my guests on the phone line, those of you who are listening to me in the social media stratosphere, and, of course, those of you who are always listening in archive at your leisure and convenience. I invite you to communicate with me, to reach out to me by way of email, divineprince@houseofthedivineprince.com. That's divineprince @houseofthedivineprince.com 24 hours a day. I would be more than happy to respond to you. I also want to throw this out to give you enough time to plan. I will be in the French Quarter Halloween night. Halloween is a very popular, one of the most popular holidays in New Orleans, probably second only to Mardi Gras. The French Quarter is off the chain, to say the least, on Halloween night, and I will be at Earth Odyssey providing reading and divination. We'll have something a little extra going on that night, so I invite you to keep in contact, stay in touch, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and of course join me here at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio for Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo, Secrets and Recipes. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.